is Radio Freedom.
Hello and welcome to show 30 of Radio Clash. This is the Amsterdammed special edition of Radio Clash, where I go to Amsterdam and meet with my school Mark and record loads of sound seeing, or I call them sound peeing tours, pissing all over the reputation of KLM because I had rather a lot of fun getting there. Didn't really think I really got my money's worth. So, over to our special roving reporter in Amsterdam.
A mouse lived in a windmill in old Amsterdam. A windmill with a mouse in, and he wasn't grousing. He sang every morning, how lucky I am. Living in a windmill in old Amsterdam. I saw a mouse, where? There on the stair, where on the stair, right there. A little mouse with clogs on. Well, I declare, going clip-clippity-clop on the stair. Oh, yeah. This mouse, he got lonesome, he took him a wife. A windmill with mice in, it's hardly surprising. She sang every morning, how lucky I am. Living in a windmill in old Amsterdam. I saw a mouse, where? There on the stair, where on the stair, right there. A little mouse with clogs on. Well, I declare, going clip-clippity-clop on the stair. Oh, yeah.
That is the delay for my flight, I think. I've used KLM because I thought, one, it was about the same price as EasyJet. I mean, EasyJet is not the great sort of money-saving thing that... It's not the great money-saving thing that Adam Curry makes it out to be. For the same price, I got a KLM flight. And, of course, the previous flight being delayed means that I've been delayed 45 minutes. And being a good little bunny, I got here early. But I have a suspicion that everyone did phone booking or something, because even though I got here 2 hours early, I've only got a middle seat and I'm hanging around for an extra 45 minutes. The time now is about 4:30.
A short while later.
That's a good view of a rainy Heathrow. Now, without all the noise, I'll repeat that again. Because of the thunderstorms, which have been happening today, the whole of the all flights, it seems like most of the flights, the BA flights and the KLM flights are delayed, but I certainly am never ever going to fly KLM ever again, because I was expecting, the reason why I booked KLM is that I expected the brand, the whole experience to be better, and not really very good. So I now have a enforced 2 hour delay, over 2 hour. The flight isn't till 7:30. The actual flight is now dropped off all the departure screen, so all these Dutch guys spoke to me, are wandering around not knowing where to go. I spoke to the service desk and they were like, you're supposed to actually get some kind of compensation if it goes over the 2 hour mark. It's a new EU rule. They didn't know anything about that. They gave me a number for the service desk, which of course is closed, because it's conveniently closed at 5 o'clock and doesn't open at the weekends or at bank holidays. So that's KLM's idea of a customer care line. And here I am, stuck in Heathrow, which is like a shopping mall from hell, when I should actually have been in the flight, you know, been on my way and nearly sort of halfway there by now. I should have flown at 5:15, and the time now is about, of course the television screen didn't tell you, the time is something in the region of, yes, 6:30. I'm not going to fly till 7:30. I'm not going to get there till 10 o'clock. The hotel closes at 11. I had to phone the hotel, do an international phone call to the hotel to let my partner know what's happening. And I just like to say KLM are a pile of shit, and please do not fly KLM, because, not necessarily because of the thunderstorms, but no, what's happening is the fact that they didn't bother to tell anyone. The flights are now dropped off the boards, people wandering around. There was an announcement about the original delay till 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock came and went when we were sitting at the gate, and then this really annoying woman came along and said, "Oh, now this is only for Eindhoven," and started basically having a go at us for being in the wrong place. And we're like, well, where are we supposed to go? You know, and I started talking to her about compensation, and said, "Oh, I can't help you, go and speak to the service desk." And so everyone queued up at the service desk, and they were telling people to go to the ticketing desk. And of course, everyone's lost their connecting flights. And of course, now the customer care line is not open, so anybody who doesn't know the system probably wouldn't actually, you know, it's all a bit convenient. And also, now the flight is now going on the same window as the 1024, which is a bit strange. Is how can it go leave at the same time? That's very strange for a slot to be bumped into 2 hours plus hence. I know other flights are being bumped, but obviously BA will probably take priority being a British airport, but still, it's a bit odd. It's very odd, actually. I mean, KLM are obviously in the very lowest order of things, but my immediate response was they've actually combined two flights, but it looks like there are actually two separate flights. I really wouldn't be surprised to find out it's actually now one flight, and they've actually just merged it all for a commercial reasons. I really wouldn't be that surprised. Anyway, I just wanted to say that from a very rainy, wet and very boring Heathrow at 6:30 on a Friday, I'll speak to you soon. And hopefully, eventually, we'll get to Amsterdam. Though I don't know what time, and I don't know how. Whoa. What the fuck's going on there? Oh, so now they suddenly are boarding. So now I have to do a merry little scamper across the whole airport. I'm sorry, this is just really bad. The idea that they suddenly have now decided at 6:30 that they're boarding. What are we going to do? Sit there for an hour? Now they're suddenly deciding to board the flight. So, hey, I'll speak to you hopefully in Amsterdam if I ever get there. And by the way, don't fly KLM. Did I say that? Yes, I did. I will keep repeating it. I might call this the Don't Fly KLM podcast. Bunch of cunts.
please leave a message during 10 seconds after the beep, and the message will be played back to you.
You can now telephone Radio Clash on 206-202-CLASH. That's 206-202-5724 in the States, or Skype me as Tim Backup.
Thank you for using Skype service. Goodbye.
So, here's the lowdown. I mean, it's a Saturday, Amsterdam, 2 o'clock. Just been to the Jewish Historical Museum. Walked around all the Grachts, all the Kaisergracht and Prinzengracht. I'm not going to do a sound sing tour. I think you can hear all the bike bells and things. And I'm rushing to see, to meet John at 2 o'clock at the Rijksmuseum. So I'm just coming up to the Rijksmuseum. Here's a lowdown on yesterday, what happened with the KLM situation. This podcast will be calling will be called KLM Sucks, because there's a 3-hour delay. Not only was the, you know, the flight, you heard the announcement as I rushed off, or we just sat on the ground in the plane, not until 7:30, but until about 8:15. So I got into Amsterdam at 11 o'clock. About 9 past 11, I was not best pleased. The classic thing that happened was they called everyone, and I scampered over because I was the other side of the airport when I was podcasting in the quiet bit. Then when I scampered over, we found out that the gate was marked as being L1024, which is a flight that was supposed to be going at 7:30. So then I was like, what was going on? It's like, oh no, this is the 1022. So I don't know whether they combined two flights or whatever they did, but it was just a whole load of a catalogue of disasters. So basically what happened is I got in, met John at De Spijker, which is a gay bar, a very good gay bar. There's one or two that I've been to before. Got into the Golden Bear, checked in. Theo's a really nice bloke. And as a first rule of podcasting, look where you're walking if you're walking around a sightseeing tour, and make sure you don't get run over by trams or those people on stupid little scooters that always seem to want to kill you. So what happened is I got in, checked in, then had to try and get something to eat, and there's a brilliant Portuguese restaurant which is on Kerkstraat, which is where Golden Bear is. That's 37 Kerkstraat. Very good. They're very windy sort of stairs. But next door, and they're not paying me anything, but next door was the Portuguese restaurant, and they served me, they were about to close, but still served me, and had a beautiful lamb stew, and thank you for that. I did two servings for one, obviously, because I probably had loads left, but it was brilliant. They called the Portuguese Grill or something. Beautiful food, and somebody got something to eat, which I was happy about. And that sort of helped save a horrible evening. So, anyway, that's me signing off. I'm at the Rijksmuseum. Hopefully I'm meeting Mark at 4, so I'll see him later. And speak to you later. You made me want to throw my page out the window. Tell him to see I took off the old post. Break my knees so I can move. Cause you a bugaboo, a bugaboo. I want to put your number on the call block. F-A-O-L, make my email stop. Cause you a bugaboo. You're bugging what you're bugging. Who you're bugging me. And don't you see it ain't cool. It's not hot that you be calling me, stressing me, paging my beeper. You just can't stop. And it's not hot that you be leaving me messages every 10 minutes and then you stop by. When I first met you, you were cool, but it was game, you had me fooled. Cause 20 minutes after I gave you my number, you already had my milk box full. So what? You bought a pair of shoes. I give them back to you through the shoe. And so what? I'ma let you. That was Close to a Bug by Rapenzo. That's Destiny's Child. I don't often play a mix of Destiny's Child in, but that's a good one. And of course, Cure with Close to You. And before that was, the start, of course, was Ronnie Hilton with Windmill in Old Amsterdam, the intro. And then sandwiched in the middle was DJ Prince, Sign the Times in My Kitchen, because that's UB40 Rap My Kitchen with Prince. So now we're moving on to the, after all this talking, all this rabbiting away, all this talking bollocks, we're now going to play a long mix called The Family Mix, which is because there's loads of Pride celebrations, I know, in the US happening in June, and the one in the UK starts at the start of July, though who knows who's going to be funding or doing it this year. So here's a little mix I've done, but first I have to say,
inclusion in this mix is not indicative of sexual preference. Your home may be at risk. If you do not keep up the payments in the office, only Halloween can help you.
Man. There's a girl, her lips I've never seen. She comes up, dances on me. I look into her eyes. I say,
hey, you're not a dyke.
We'll be right back.
That was the family mix. Too many things to actually list here. Go and check out the website at www.mutantpop.net/radioclash and look up the number 30 podcast for the show notes, and it'll tell you what was in there. There's a whole variety of things, starting out from Sandra Bernhardt, her cover of Mighty Reel. She does a very beautiful version, almost like a gospel version as well, about Sylvester. And I was thinking when I was making that, yeah, I do miss Sylvester. I do miss people like that. He was an icon. He was the first big openly gay sort of disco superstar. And a whole variety of things there: Tainted Love, Me First and the Gimme Gimmies, and ending of a track from the 365 Project, which I'm going to do the play a lot from them from the Oral Podities podcast, which was supposed to be this one, but I decided as I was in Amsterdam to do this as number 30 and number 31, or a show in future will be the Oral Podities one. That I was requesting people to send in their strangeness, their oral strangeness. Now, I know what you're thinking, Nana. Into the show, and I would play it. And I want more of those, so if you can email me at radioclash@mutantpop.net, just send me those really weird or odd or strange or scary audio. That could be anything. Or you could phone me on the Clash line, which is 206-202-CLASH. Oh, it's 206-202-5724, of those in the States. And imitate it, or tell me what you'll even record it through there. What's your strangest sound? What's the strangest one that you've thing that you've heard? It could be anything. Just something that sound. So now we're going to go on to the interview with Bicycle Mark. It's quite a long interview, so I'm going to have to cut it into several little tiny easily digestible chunks. What does that sound like, dog food? But it was great meeting Mark. We went sort of walked. We met outside the Rijksmuseum, and went to a local cafe called Debali, or Debali. Oh, I got it so wrong. And then sort of I was on the way back to meet John. Actually, we podcasted on the way, so it's kind of a bit of a sound peeing tour, as I call them. So here's Mark and me, and the rest of Amsterdam is a chorus in the background.
This is Bicycle Mark.
Back, back.
and I've talked about Amsterdam and KLM and things like that.
Oh, you already did that. Huh?
Oh yeah, I did that before.
And do you want the locale of where we are?
We are. Oh, what is this place anyway? Lido.
This is the Max Uveplein at the entrance to the Vondel Park, which is
the Vondel Park.
Our best park.
Why is it called the Vondel Park?
Everybody's touching each other in there. Vondel, you know.
What is Vondel? Vondel?
A walk.
A walk? Oh, that's
some kind of a walk-related word. Here comes a cyclist.
Because you can actually pronounce it properly. I can't. I didn't even try.
Well,
I've been really
bad. I think I can pronounce it properly. Then I hang out with a Dutch person who corrects me.
Oh, yeah, but at least you try and speak Dutch. I just haven't bothered. I'm really bad. I'm a really bad tourist.
Well, I mean, I only recommend speaking Dutch if you're actually going to live here. What is going on with this tram?
It's obviously just stopped.
All right.
But yeah, it's a bit like, well, a bit like the whole thing about Sanskrit. I was saying that Bollywood. It's like, you know, unless you really, really know, just leave it well alone.
Yeah, I mean, because the disadvantage to the Dutch language is go anywhere 2 hours away and no one speaks your language, so...
Oh, because of the different dialects and Flemish.
And the size of the country and the region.
Oh, and the other thing I've discussed as well is about podcasting and walking across the road.
Yeah, it's
very dangerous. I don't know what... You know people do, like, commute casts?
Yeah.
Why?
Driving.
Well, I think that's... How can you do that?
I think that's...
That's illegal, I think. severely illegal.
No, you have a hands-free. You have a hands-free.
Well, you can have hands-free, but you're not ever supposed to have headphones, are you? You're not ever supposed to have anything. You're telling me that they're just podcasting without even bothering to listen to themselves. Yeah. You can't record without not listening to yourself.
We can walk through here and then exit stage left. No, I think it's legal. And I think commute casts are exciting because they add that element of risk.
What do you mean? Well, I've been waiting for the first commute cast accident.
And how many evil listeners are there out there going, maybe today's the day? I'm not wishing for any injuries, just like, a fender bender.
Well, that happened to Ken from the Ken and Scoop show. He wasn't doing commute cast, but he managed to prang his car and damage himself. And also Dave did the, was it the Reformed Coffee Shop thing on the Open Podcast?
Oh.
The Calvinist guy. Calvinist. Raised eyebrow.
Okay.
He quite badly.
Oh, wow.
He ran a red stoplight and was side impacted.
So that's why commute casts are...
Yeah, so people are waiting for the actual... that to happen on record. But then the problem is they'll be used by the police. And it's a bit like those people that have been doing happy slapping and recording them going slapping people. It's just like, well, people will just use it against you, idiot.
Is it submittable in court, a podcast? We need to ask
a
lawyer.
Yeah, we need to find that out. Do we have any tame lawyers?
Because I've heard that, chat records can be used.
So, can they?
You know how Skype archives your... Well, I think if you have it set for that.
Well, I tend to set those kind of things off.
Yeah. I leave it on just because it's so odd when you turn on Skype and if you've been on a different machine or something, all of a sudden these old lines pop up from 3 days ago and it's just like, are you asking me this now?
No, I have Trillion as well, which is another chat program, and that does that, and I turn it off because... Well, and actually, that can be quite useful if you've got a lot of contacts. If you've got a few contacts, it's really distracting. Whereas if you've got a lot of contacts and you can't remember who the person was,
yeah.
You go, oh, yeah, that's where I know them from. Because occasionally I get all kinds of weird people IMing me.
Polish youth, as I recall.
Well, yes, yes. But with IM, they don't necessarily... We've got, like, some weird, like... The frantic hamster at hotmail.com. You're thinking, who's the frantic hamster? Never heard of you. And you find out it's someone you do know, but you only find that after speaking to them after about 5 hours, and
right.
You think, who are
little
you?
Frantic hamster.
Yeah, because they expect you to know.
A bicycle, I think I told you about this, a bicycle like factory or a business, like a new bicycle business from China, Skyping me all the time.
I meant to ask you, why are you called Bicycle Mark?
Oh, yeah. I've never discussed that.
You never discussed that?
No, yeah, I got to get to it. Probably because it's not exciting. When I went to university, my first university experience in 97, I was in New Jersey, in a town that...
New Jersey?
Yeah.
Sorry, I will have to apologize to anyone listening from New Jersey.
No, we don't mind.
We're really bad accent.
It's a very modest state. We're very good at taking criticism. Because it's such a piece of junk of a state, but it's beautiful. Anyway, so it was a mountainous campus where I was at school, and it's the United States, so everyone above the age of 17 has a car somehow. Except me, I didn't have a car, I couldn't afford it, of course. And so I had a bicycle, and I would ride my bicycle regardless of the weather. Which is, not a big deal here in Amsterdam. We ride in the snow. But I was riding in the snow in New Jersey, and I was getting laughed at. A lot of the professors, before class or after class would go, so Mark, how's your they used to say, how's your Cadillac? And they'd say, my bicycle's fine. And the caretakers of the dormitory, when they would see me, they used to go, oh, here comes Bicycle Mark. And then there'd be laughter and snickering. And I remember thinking, I kind of like that name. I mean, you're making fun of me, but I kind of like the spirit of that name.
Oh, it's a bit like the best ever insult that I was ever given.
Exactly. Best ever
was,
insult.
The best ever insult was Wally Beard. W-O-L-L-Y Beard.
Wally Beard.
And it was like, no, you mean Wooly, don't you? And they just kind of disappeared. And I was like, oh, did they? I spent ages thinking... Did they mean? Is this some kind of weird word? I don't know.
I kind of like it.
And I did kind of like it. It's like, Wally Beard.
Yeah. So I stuck with it. I made it my, at the time...
You reclaimed the word, just like other words.
Yeah,
you can't.
Yeah. And then it sort of took a life of its own because, you email a lot of your friends. So friends would randomly say, hey, Bicycle Mark, and there were a couple of other marks, so it was easy to set yourself apart.
Yeah. Well, a friend of mine knew about five Garys at one point, so they all got numbered.
Yeah, okay, right. Or you're remembered for something stupid that you did, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. A friend
Trump
of mine,
off his ass, Gary, you know.
Yeah, a friend of mine's called Big Jim.
Okay,
anyway,
right.
He's actually
right.
tall, before you think of anything else.
Oh, all right.
He's actually tall. But, yeah.
No. Oh, yeah, we had a friend, we used to call him Big John Stud, because we heard from other people that he was Big John Stud.
Well, that's not necessarily a bad name.
The story was that his father walked in on him in the bathroom and said, "Oh my God, son."
Where did you get that from? And no, he didn't say something like that, did he? Because he shouldn't be surprised. He should go, "Oh, great."
Apparently he was.
Oh my God, that means, oh no, that's really embarrassing.
It came from the mother's side or something.
Yeah, obviously.
So they called him Big John Stud, and everybody called him that.
Phenomenal.
Oh, and that's another thing.
Very ideal for Bicycle Mark to live in Amsterdam.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. Once you move to Amsterdam and you're writing your email address or your website somewhere and it happens to be Bicycle Anything, people are just like, oh, that's original. It's not special. Right? Yeah, me too. You know, they seem to look at me like, I've got a few myself. It wasn't too cool.
It's such an American thing to actually piss out someone for having a bike.
Yes.
Because it's like, what?
That's the weirdest thing. Like, I was made fun of.
It wouldn't be old in...
In uncomfortable weather. You know? Oh, that must be so inconvenient.
And then you used to retort that, and there's oil prices going up. It must be really difficult for you.
I used to just say, yeah, well.
At least I have to pay for the oil and the maintenance fee.
And one time I was parking in front of a hotel and I was in a hurry and I needed just to run in to get something. And I parked my bike in front of the hotel ground floor window and a really large man comes out, bouncer. And says, you can't park a bike there. I was like, well, I'm not parking, I'm just stopping for a second, and I'll be right back. And he said, no, you can't. And I go, well, I'm just going to be right back, and I'm already walking. And he picks up my bike, which it wasn't fixed to anything, it was just locked in general, and he puts it, like kind of throws it on the sidewalk across from the window. And I was like, could you wash that? You know, he was not...
Because, of course, you used to deal with, mafia guys, and I assume these big mafia guys. You have a certain way of dealing with big bounce types, I assume.
Yeah, keep an arm's length distance.
And then run.
See how much you can get away with before it's over. Yeah.
But I'm surprised there isn't more provision, apart from the bike lanes, for bikes, and so many of them.
Well, if you're at Central Station, you see the bicycles, you know, the giant parking garage.
But then you need that in Central Station because that place is so dodgy at night. That's why I didn't want to arrive there at 11 o'clock because I remember the junkies hanging around there from last time.
But when was the last time you were here?
It would be about 3 or 4 years ago.
Right, and I have to say that I was here for the first time 4 years ago, 2000, so five. And Central Station was really shady. There were guys riding their bikes around asking you if you needed a place to stay. Some of them were that, you know, they were just promoting their hostel.
Probably
walk that way. And I remember it was very, very shady, but with the whole Disneyfication of, you know, make everything tourist friendly, it's actually become quite, I don't want to use the word nice because that's almost giving them too much credit. It's become quite sterile and full of rules.
Okay. What I found is that the whole, what I like about about Amsterdam, even if you don't imbibe certain chemicals. It's very laid back.
Yeah.
And I had the choice of trying a space cake earlier, and I decided not to because I wanted to meet you straight and sober.
I'd be much funnier if you were doing that space cake.
Well, I didn't. Well, last time we tried one, it didn't do anything.
Oh.
We had because we were warned about they're so potent about one of these places.
It's all in the yeast.
Yeah. And it's like so what we had is that we had half between us, between me and John, and we just sat there for like several hours going, are you feeling anything? No. You know, and it was, and the problem is that either it was such low grade, or more likely is that both of us have got too much resistance.
Right, I was going to say, you have an incredible tolerance, and therefore...
But that's the thing, I'm not built of a tolerance, unless it's passive smoking, because I don't smoke.
I suppose that there's some connection if you've eaten a meal, then space cake might not affect you as easily.
Maybe.
So, the lesson is, if you want to get high, eat space cake on an empty stomach.
Yeah, I had that option last night, and I was like, because John was saying, oh, you want some food? Why don't you go next door? Because we're actually next door to a... one of the cafes, so you just sit in the morning, just sort of put your head out the window and breathe in.
Well, the thing about space cake as well, not that I've had that much in my life, enough, is that unlike smoking in the evening where you can get up the next day and function normally, space cake can follow you for 24 hours or more.
Wow.
Yeah. I once ate a space cake one evening. Watch yourself, because the bike lane is unidentified over here.
Oh, secret bike lane. Only yeah. They know about.
Yeah. It's, you know, under construction. We can go that way and you get to the Keddick stop. And then I went to sleep thinking, wow, I'm glad that, you know, if I go to sleep and wake up, I'll feel better, because this is horrible. You know, I can't function.
Oh, no.
And then I remember waking up going, I'm probably good now.
And
then
weren't.
Thinking again, wait a minute, did I just speak out loud by mistake? And then noticing that I was still very much stoned.
Noticing little pixies.
And then I had to go to work.
Oh no!
Yeah.
No.
And so I'm trying to kind of like a crazy person reminding themselves of what steps to take.
Out
I'm
loud.
Reminding myself, make eye contact with coworkers. Well, not too much, not too much.
And you're saying this and they're going, you're feeling alright, Mark?
Are you talking to yourself?
Must make chit chat now, but only for a short period. I don't like this person. Oh, did I say that?
And I just remember being at work and telling myself not to do anything that's too damaging. Because tomorrow I can probably make up for everything and tell everybody that I wasn't feeling well yesterday.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling well. Yes.
But the beauty of working in Amsterdam is that nobody knew. Or, ironically, everybody was stoned.
And they should have seen the signs many times before. We're claiming not to know. Thinking...
I guess not. No, actually, I think... just like this city, interestingly enough, the Dutch people don't partake.
Yeah.
So, if you show up to work stoned, it's unheard of. So there's not even like a negative reaction. There's just a general, I've never seen that before.
Because I'm always intrigued by the whole kind of like the radical liberalism aspect. Because they're not really that... they're tolerant, but they're not tolerant.
Right.
I don't really understand it.
Yeah. Well, it's changed, I think. I think originally there was a lot of this, it's pragmatic. So the people who wanted to legalize marijuana were not progressives necessarily, or not the force that did it, but it was conservative old judges who wanted their court system to work smoothly and get rid of all these people being charged with marijuana use.
That's fair enough. I mean, if you look at it logically, it makes a lot of sense. It's
right.
Just that most people don't look at it logically.
Right. So that's what you'll find. There's a lot of logical thinking, at least in the case of drugs.
It's that way, anyway.
All right, Tim. Well,
it was good to be here.
Yeah, good meeting you.
So if you want to meet up tomorrow at all, or if you're around, I don't know.
I'll send you a text. I am around. There's something I'm doing, but I don't remember what it was.
I'm going to head off about 3:00 to get my flight.
Oh, okay.
But I'll be around-ish in the morning.
Okay. Yeah. Otherwise, good meeting you live.
Yes, live on broadcasting the world.
Yeah.
And as I said before, when I wasn't recording, marks the first ever podcast for it, isn't it?
Right. So it's a good precedent.
They exist.
They exist.
They're live. They're not machines. They're not bots somewhere.
No.
I was very.
And I didn't pull up in a car. And I, you know, I'm exactly who I am, I think.
Who are you?
True to my form. No, that's the other thing, right? I mean, you could see someone doing a show claiming to be one thing, and then, oh, we can get real critical about certain people. And then when you meet them live, they're the complete opposite, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, I hope I'm not too much of a disappointment.
No, not at all, not at all, not at all. And
at least you didn't go, my God, you've got a beard! I thought you were a woman.
You know, no, I was looking for the beard, and I spotted you right away.
I wonder how.
It's long.
So that was the meeting with Mark, and it was good to meet him, and yes, he's right, the beard is long. Long is the beard, it is. And so this is the end of the show. Sorry it's been a bit sort of talk heavy because of all the sort of ranting about KLM and all the interview bits. I hope you enjoyed the show. We played a little bit of Little Interrupt Us was Alex H with Mana Mana in Memphis, which is another blow to Mark Cohn. As you might have guessed, I'm not a fan of Mark Cohn, so I like anything that takes the piss out of him. Just like the Chaos Productions bootleg did with Jet. Seems like Mana Mana's very good for doing that. So I'll speak to you soon. This next track is by Black Box Recorder. Again, thank you, Greg. Because I started to actually listening to some of the tracks and downloading them. And this is a track called England Made Me, which is quite appropriate. Certainly the dual way you can take the title England Made Me, as in England Made Me What I Am, and England Made Me Do It, which is what the song's about, is very appropriate. And it's Luke Haynes. It is very misanthropic, and it's based around a Graham Greene novel called England Made Me, and it's very ghostly, but it's a good track. But certainly, it has a lot of the contradictions of being English and are sort of wrapped up in one song, which is pretty good going. So I'll speak to you soon. Okay, bye.
I trapped a spider underneath the gloss. I kept it for a week to see how long he'd last. He stared right back at me. He thought that he could win. We played a waiting game. He thought that I'd give in. It was an unsolved case, a famous murder mystery. People love a mystery. England made me. Thank you. a secret life. Sleep with the enemy, then betray both sides. I traveled all my life, but never got away from the killing job and the garden shed.
And what's funny is with the new trams, they don't actually have any bells on them. They have a recording of a bell.
How digital.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They should have a recording of someone going, bong.
Oh, yeah.
Bong.
Huh. And actually, that does happen with, in Portugal, in my grandmother's town, you know, they have their church. And of course, the church couldn't afford real bells. So there's a recording of bells.
Oh.